Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us on this. By the way, it's Monday, September the 9th, 2024.
Yeah, all day. Good morning, everybody.
That's what my mom used to say. I would say, you know, in school, in high school or something, you know, you get busy and you go, is today Tuesday? She'd say, all day.
Now I'm doing mom jokes. Huh?
Yes. I didn't like it when she said it, Steve.
By the way, in the world of sports, did you know Aaron Rodgers, you know, he plays tonight, his team, the Jets.
Is he really? I was just wondering if he was still.
He's 40 years old.
I thought he was hurt. I didn't see him, his stats at all this
He was injured all last season.
Oh, yeah. He had
first game.
Two plays
but
in.
What I'm saying is, what's the average age? Not the average age, but wasn't Tom Brady like 42?
Yeah.
When he quit? So I guess.
42 is the new 32.
Yeah, I guess these guys, of course, when they get paid the kind of money these guys get paid, it's hard to give it up, I'm sure.
Huh? All I know is I just turned 66, and 66 is the new 76. With me, it just goes in the opposite direction.
Oh, is that right? You just sort of.
I'm just kidding.
I just remember when most professional athletes, especially in football, used to be done by the time they were 33, 34, 35.
Right.
Now they're.
That's probably true most of the time.
There are certain positions that tend to last longer than others. They protect quarterbacks an awful lot. So yeah. I've heard several. People in the prime of their football career, linemen, linebackers, defensive people that hit a lot,
yeah,
they're stepping out because they say, I could have five more good years,
yeah,
but I want to be able to think and talk when I'm
– And their joints. Their joints. You know, George Blanda, you know this, being a Raider fan.
Yeah.
George Blanda played in like to his 50-something. He was a kicker and a backup quarterback.
I saw him throw a touchdown pass, actually.
I remember him coming in off the bench.
I was there.
When
it was right after the
pass?
Yeah. Right after the Civil War, right?
Yes, just about.
he was 50 years old. You're kidding me.
I'm going to look up.
Yeah.
Are you looking it up?
You can't look it up because we don't have an internet, but I do because I'm special.
Okay. Look up how old I'm.
George
sure,
Blanda. I remember
I'm
the name.
Sure he was.
Number three. No, it was LaMonica. Number
yeah,
16.
Mad Bomber.
That was, yeah, number three, that Daryl LaMonica was.
Daryl LaMonica, number three for the Raiders, but.
Kenny Stabler, number 12. The
Snake.
So how old?
I got to know before we move on here to the rest of the news.
No pressure, Steve.
I got to know how old George Blanda was.
George Blanda retired at 48.
48.
Yeah, right.
Still.
What was his number? Maybe his number was 50.
16.
George Blanda.
Yeah.
No, that was Jim Plunkett, wasn't it?
Well,
it was both.
They could.
Both.
Unless
your numbers retired.
They start doing letters if they could only use numbers once.
So he retired when he was 48. I don't know why I thought it was 50.
By the way, have you seen the new kickoff formation
for
the NFL?
Yeah,
no.
Weird. You haven't?
You just have to see it. The teams, okay, kickoffs in professional football, I guess in college, they used to start like at the 35,
right,
and then you kick it to the other end zone, and the team runs it back. They've moved, I think for safety reasons,
yes,
probably, they've moved the kickoff players.
Except for the kicker.
Except for the kicker. They moved them down to like the 40-yard line of the opponent.
And the
– are you serious?
Yes.
It looks weird.
They're lining
really
up.
It looks weird.
They're lining up, I think, around the 40, and the return team is lining up. They have to line up at the – 20, and then there's two people or however many back there to receive it. The kicker's at the regular spot. He kicks it. They cannot move until the ball lands in the hands of.
How do they do an onside kick?
I don't know.
I don't know how they do that, but it's really. But I would imagine it's in the name of safety, reducing injuries because,
yeah, because people,
a lot of people get injured because they're you run full speed for 40 or 50 yards and then you collide with somebody.
Especially if you weigh 280 pounds and you do a 40 and four
That's
flat.
The reason I didn't continue in football.
Yeah.
That was the only reason?
There, huh?
That was the only
reason? Well, that and I weighed like 125 pounds. And,
yeah.
And I, when I ran into a 185-pound guy, it hurt intensely. And I decided, you know what? My mind said to the body, or vice versa, you don't want to do this anymore.
You know,
basketball is your ticket.
That's right.
You know,
it served you well too.
Yeah.
I all my life, of course, watching sports, played some sports, but you always hear coaches say, "Listen, you got to put your whole heart, give 110%." Well, if you're 120,
talking about in football or any sport, okay,
but especially football, what you're saying,
yeah,
it doesn't matter if you have the heart of Rudy.
You're right.
If you're 125 pounds and you get hit by someone who's 185 pounds,
right, you
it doesn't
lose.
Matter how much heart you have.
Physics.
You're bouncing.
You lose.
You're bouncing
Mr.
off
Newton
that guy.
Wins.
No, I agree. I think the whole idea of motivational speeches and things like that are completely and totally overrated.
Yes,
in sports, it's only for movies like Rudy.
Yes,
in the end, the bigger, stronger, faster, quicker people win.
Yes,
that's why there's no DEI except in men's and women's sports. There's no DEI in real sports.
No. So I mean, that's just the way it is. You can, like you said, you can go in the locker room and have a coach give a big, you know, the best Newt Rockne speech you can give.
That guy you're lining up against.
Right, he puts his pants on one leg at a time, just like you.
You take him out. You drive him down the field.
Right.
Except that two of my legs could fit in every
Guess what?
He's 75
guess
pounds.
Guess what? In the locker room, in the other locker room, the other coach is telling his player the very same thing.
Yes, that's right.
So it really comes down to genetics, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And most of the times in sports like that. Anyway. All right, Steve, what's your first story that matters to humanity?
Well, let's go to the University of Birmingham, University of British Columbia, sorry, in Canada.
Did they win or lose Saturday?
I have no idea what they did Saturday in football, but they are protesting. They're back in school and protesting pro-Palestinian against, you know, anti-Semitic protests.
Where is this?
University of British Columbia.
Canada. Okay, so.
I'm just going to give you a representation of where woke is these days. So the protesters put a sign up on the gate into the entrance to the campus, said pigs off campus, pigs off every land from Turtle Island to Palestine. Now, Turtle Island is the name that they give to this continent before Amerigo Vespucci in 1500 decided to discover it.
Right.
And
Turtle, who called?
Apparently, they think that the
Who's
original... The woke left thinks that the original Aborigine, Indian, whatever they were that were here before the white man colonized it, called this place Turtle Island. And so that they don't want
it. All of them did. All Native Americans
every
called
one
it
of them,
Turtle Island.
Every one
Island.
Of them at least once a day.
Because we all know they all loved nature and got along with nature and were
and each
peaceful
other.
And got along with each other.
Well, anyway, they don't want to acknowledge. It's the pre-colonial name. So anyway, Turtle Island, let it be clear, as we begin this new academic year, we remain steadfast in our commitment to hold UBC accountable for its complicity in the ongoing genocide. And to get their point across, they severed an actual pig's head and hung it on the pole.
Wait. Okay. So it was alive during the protest? And then they killed it.
You know, we got lunch coming up, fellas.
They killed it. Bacon sandwich. They killed it. They killed it before. Mm. They just brought it
brought
a real
head.
Bed with them. So anyway, online, here's the comment. Someone said, that pig died in slavery and servitude. And it was an intelligent creature with thoughts and feelings. It doesn't deserve to be humiliated in this way. Please reconsider in the future using a paper mache pig head drenched in red or paint or something else. Otherwise, love the spirit. Keep it up.
Well, listen, I'm guessing that whoever put this is opening day. This is opening day of classes or something. They must have been planning this all summer long.
Well, sure they did.
So they had nothing.
They're back and they want to, you know, get back to where they left off, I guess. But yeah, and by the way, ironic that they would use a pig in support of Muslims,
right? Because they are considered unclean animals.
They are,
and if you're tainted, if your body is unclean as a Muslim due to pig's blood, you go to hell.
You don't go to
paradise.
You don't get the.
So listen, that makes as much sense as gays for Hamas,
right?
Homosexual,
right, exactly.
Whatever, LGBTQ for Hamas.
I saw a video
they
online.
They get thrown off the roof.
I didn't bring any of this in, but there was a couple of guys like were trolling people on campus, and they came on with T-shirts with Hamas spelled out in Greek letters, and they wanted to sign people up for the Hamas fraternity.
Oh, my goodness.
And they got people signing up.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, so we're
coming up. I don't want to know what they do for hazing.
No kidding.
Good grief.
Huh? We need to move on.
Yes, we are. So the election coming up, as you all know.
Really?
When? Yeah. November.
Coming Tim up. And I are in agreement. We can't wait until
it's
over.
This
man,
I
got to tell you. So anyway, it's always going to be it's an interesting discussion now how Donald Trump is doing with some of the groups that have previously been thought to be a lock for the Democrats. Hispanics are a lot by percentages. I've seen polls where he's drawing 50% of Hispanics. And he's drawing not near a majority, but a lot more African-Americans than he used to. And I wanted to play this. I cleaned it up a little bit from made it a little clearer from our story meeting this morning, I think, I hope. Anyway, this is a woman who, as the news article I'm looking at says, goes scorched earth on Chicago Democrats at the Chicago City Council meeting.
Are we going to be able to – is this the one that's hard to understand?
Well, I tried to clean it up.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Let's listen to cut 9.
In the words of Malcolm X, who told us what? That the white liberal is the worst enemy to the black man.
Yes.
And he is coming up in here acting like y'all representing some social justice.
Say that.
But all along, all you're doing is trying to use black people to find a reason to make some money.
Say that.
Let me tell y'all something over there. We're done. The Democratic Party is done. You leave the Democratic Party. Do just like RFK Jr. Just do like that Tulsa lady. You better get up out the Democratic Party. Save yourself. Save your families. Save your dignity. Save your job. And save your seat. The number one function of a president is to be the commander-in-chief. You tell me anything about a Kamala Harris that looked like she could protect this country after y'all just sat up here and then get her overridden with a bunch of
even the Democrats.
Now, who was that?
It was a lady from the community in Chicago yelling at the Chicago City Council.
All these, we pointed this out, we're not alone in doing this. All these major cities that are in trouble are all run by Democrats. They've been run by Democrats for 50 years. And so the are the schools falling apart in the inner city? Then you blame the Democratic Party. And it
yeah, but
like,
they're still going to vote Democrat all day, every day in those big
she's
cities.
Not.
Huh?
She's not.
No, she's not, but they that's anyway.
Well, this is the discussion that they're having because some polling says that Donald Trump is drawing as much as 20%
of the black vote.
The black vote, which to prior, I don't think any Republican has gotten in double digits.
Yeah. Well,
of the actual,
of course, the actual
true vote. The true telltale will be Election Day.
Right.
Yeah.
I could see him, Trump, getting 13 maybe percent of the African American vote.
And in some battlegrounds,
some demographics like black males, he might get 20%. I don't know.
And in battleground states, that could flip. That could be instrumental in giving the election to Trump. It's not going to matter in a state like New York, or California. But it could make a huge difference in battleground states.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
like Georgia and North Carolina, for example.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see whether these kinds of polls result in votes cast for Donald Trump. Same thing with the Hispanic community. We'll see if they come out to vote for
Trump.
I
think our numbers are right.
Harris.
Okay. In a typical presidential election, and this may be true just across the board in state elections or local elections, but the black folks are going to vote 90-10, 92-8 in favor of the Democrats. The Hispanics are going to vote 60-40 Democrat, typically. So that wouldn't, if Trump was able to pull 50% of people who are Hispanics, by the way, the Hispanic demographic, if that's what you want to call it, is the largest minority in the U.S., and that's been that way for 5 or 6 years or longer. I think they represent, they, Hispanics represent 17-18% of the American population. I think I'm right on that.
That sounds right.
The black community is like 13%, something like that. I don't know.
And I've said this.
I can't speak. I don't know. I don't know the Eskimo.
It's less
demographic. It's less.
It's less.
Far less. Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, they vote mostly in Alaska. But anyway, go ahead.
I've said this before. I think on this show, but in discussions when I have sometimes Sammy Rodriguez, who's the head of the National Hispanic Evangelical Leadership Coalition. I don't think I have those words in the right order, but Hispanic Evangelicals, he's the head of an organization that represents them. And he says that Hispanics in this country are largely already Republican. They just don't know it yet.
Yeah.
Because they have all of the same values as Republicans, at least the way they used to. They're pro-life, they're pro-family.
Well, most of them are Catholic. Most of them are Catholic or evangelical, right?
Yes, largely.
For the most part.
It just, and they're not voting in their own interest, as most people, maybe a lot of people don't. But Sammy thinks that there could be a lot of ground made. Now, he's mostly concerned, rightfully so, with their spiritual condition.
Right.
But politically, they're a lot more up for grabs than most people want to admit.
Yeah.
The Democrats want to admit.
Next story, Steve.
All right. So we've been talking about different businesses that have decided that they are going to reverse their DEI policies, their woke policies. The guy named Robbie Starbuck has been kind of instrumental in some of these.
Has there been a couple you can name that have changed their ways for the better?
Yeah.
Recently, wasn't it called Tractor Supply?
Tractor Supply was one.
Was it John Deere?
John Deere was another. And
Harley Davidson?
Harley Davidson announced that they were reversing their...
They are currently suffering. I don't think their CEO came around.
Okay.
But we have a new contestant in the How Fast Can You Shed DEI contest. This one, it doesn't have Robbie Starbuck's name attached to it, but I think they probably drew some inspiration from him. There's a group called Consumers Research. It's an advocacy group, and they are going after Stanley Black & Decker. This is the tool company. When you buy tools from DeWalt or Black & Decker or Stanley, you're doing business with this company. And they are taking them on. They're getting a boycott.
They can also help you with your taxes.
Sure.
Stanley Black & Decker.
Stanley Black &
Decker. Call them at 800. You know what I'm saying? They'll give you some free advice. I'm just saying.
If your old law firm, Dewey, Cheatham & Howe, is...
That's from the Three Stooges, isn't
it? No, it's from Johnny Carson.
Oh, okay.
Dewey,
Cheatham & Howe.
Dewey, Cheatham & Howe.
Okay, sorry I interrupted you.
That's okay.
That's rare for me.
So he says, this guy named Will Hild, who's a director of consumer research, says Stanley Black & Decker has strayed into politics by pushing cultural values that have nothing to do with consumer satisfaction. They are seen at stock value sink recently, and a lot of it might be because they want to increase their minority suppliers by at least 10% by 2025. They donate millions of dollars to racial equity groups. They are demanding compulsory equity training sessions for their bosses. They are in line with the human rights campaign. They spent $280,000 on lobbying for the Equality Act. So they are woke. And now I haven't heard if they are responding to this, but if you think about it, I don't know what having a good skill saw has to do with if you're white or black or woke or not.
Yeah, if you want more minority businesses carrying your products, which I think if you've got a hardware store and you're black, you're going to have Stanley Tools and
sure.
DeWalt. I mean, my advice is just make good tools. Make good power tools. Make good tools and people will carry them. Why would a black business, the black owner of a hardware store, why would he care about their DEI policies if they produce lousy tools?
Right.
Okay? They wouldn't. Well,
they don't. They
yeah.
they do.
No, they.
So I heard a discussion over the weekend that we in the United States here may have reached peak woke and we're on the other side of that movement because we're seeing a lot of people now at least openly talking about saying that transgender rights are maybe not trans, you know, doing things to kids is maybe not right. There are a lot more people that are now open to saying that they are supporting Donald Trump. We're seeing a lot of people say things that they wouldn't have said 2 years ago with regard to some of this DEI stuff. Do you think we're past peak woke and going down the other side?
I think for the diehards, first of all, let me say before answering that, Brent Creeley, our outstanding producer.
Yes.
He's our crack producer who's not on crack.
I compliment him when he takes my side.
Right.
The Three Stooges did the Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe attorneys at law when Carson was in high school.
Well, there you go.
And so anyway.
That's not what he said.
Oh, wait. Somebody else sent this. Okay, that's right. Sorry. I take that back.
He's not our crack
producer. Okay, I think I know who sent this. I just now looked at it. I think
you want to give your phone number so people can send you text unsolicited during the show.
This is a listener that I do interact
okay,
with.
I'm just kidding.
I'm not going to tell his name.
It's a him, though.
Huh?
It's a he.
It is a he,
yeah.
and he is an attorney.
Okay.
That's why I'm not going to put his name on the air.
By the way, Brent did send me this. Harley Davidson, this is from Fox News, the headline. I haven't read the article. Harley Davidson slams brakes. I like the pun.
Yeah.
On woke policies after sparking biker and social media outrage. So
this, their tent was almost empty at the Sturgis motorcycle thing in South Dakota.
The good news, there's been some big national brands in the last few months that have reversed course. Usually it's our side losing on these issues, but now the times, from Bob Dylan, the times they are changing, and it looks like, you know, our side is.
So you're voting for past peak woke.
I think the ideologically committed, like on college campuses, it's not going away anytime soon.
Yeah.
But for corporate America, where the economy.
There's no value in this.
There's no value in it.
The economy is
people are suffering.
Like you figured out. They're trying to sell. The economy is suffering. Yep. They're trying to sell motorcycles.
Right.
Not get into culture war battles over diversity, equity, and inclusion and all that stuff.
And their profit margins are so small,
yeah.
They can't afford to alienate half the country or half their customer base.
And they probably looked at themselves and going, we were already doing diversity before this issue even came along.
Right.
We don't discriminate our hiring policies.
Right.
And haven't for decades.
Yeah.
Because it's illegal.
Right.
To do that.
And it's wrong.
We're hiring the best and the brightest at our company because we want to make money.
Exactly.
So we're out of time, Steve. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thanks to Ed and Brent Creeley, our producer, and Chris
Woodward. Our crack producer.
Yes. We have a great day, everybody. See you tomorrow.